The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Already. Wow.
Awesome.
Of course, I'm sharing with you the same topic that Dot is sharing with the children, the gift of Advent. And of course, today we're talking about wisdom. And I gave a message back in 2010. It was talking about, I believe the title of it was The Keys to the Kingdom. And I talked about the importance of understanding. Now, you know, I'm not saying that I understand this and have all the wisdom on it, and everybody else that teaches about keys of the kingdom's wrong. I just chose a way of teaching the keys of the kingdom that I felt like was very, very in line with the Bible and what the keys mean to us and how they can be used to unlock. Because, you see, Jesus said that there are mysteries in the kingdom. And unless you have the keys, you're not going to unlock the mysteries of the kingdom. So that was the vein that I went in this. And I talked about wisdom being a key, which we're going to talk about this morning. Talked about knowledge being a key to unlock the mysteries. Understanding is definitely a key. So you got to have the wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. We're going to talk about that. Wisdom to really, truly understand. The problem with our nation today is that we have leaders that do not have the wisdom of God. They operate under the wisdom of man. They operate under the wisdom of the deceiver. They operate under all kinds of other kinds of wisdom, but they do not have the wisdom of God. Now, that was a blanket statement, and that's not fair to all of our leaders. I want you to all understand that. Because we do have some that are godly men who are trying, men and women, I should say, that are trying to do what is right. But they are certainly fighting an uphill battle because they are surrounded with people with ungodly wisdom. When you have godly wisdom, you see things differently. You see, the Word of God is very clear. It said that there's a time in nations and a time in history where people see evil and call it good, and so see good and call it evil. You know what the problem is? They don't have the wisdom of God. They don't understand the truth and the reality of what the Bible teaches. So that's the real basis. If we want to get wisdom, we have to ask God for wisdom. And we have to understand that wisdom, true wisdom, comes from the knowledge of the Word of God. And that's how I tied all this together. So what I'm going to be sharing with you this morning is just an excerpt from that message so that you're going to say to yourself, I think I've heard this before. And I hope you do. And I hope that in the future, when I talk about it, you're going to say, I think I've heard this before. Because you see, being repetitive is so very important in the body of Christ that we hear it and we hear it and we hear it. So-called professionals say that you need to hear something three times before it sticks with you. And the reality is, the way to really learn something is to hear it, repeat it, and write it. If you want it to really stick with you, that's the way to do it. Now, it took me a long time to come to that realization that is the way to really learn things. But for some people, it is more difficult to get it to stick in this thing we call our brain. How many have difficulty remembering things sometimes? That's a horrible confession. What's wrong with you people? That was terrible, wasn't it? I did that to you. The reality is, yes, you know, it's not easy to remember things. I always hated those people at school that all they had to do was just, you know, open the book the day before the test, read through it, close it, and they could get great grades. You know, because I have to study things. I have to try really hard to remember things. And I'd say a vast majority of us is probably that way, that we have to really get it inside of us. And that's why if we want to attain wisdom, we've got to get that wisdom from our God. He's the one that imparts that to us. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Now, we read last week about Mary and Joseph preparing, hearing from God, and knowing that that the child that was going to be born was the Son of God. So we've already prepared the way for all this Advent talk. So I'm going to go in a different direction this morning. Matthew chapter 12, beginning with verse 25. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand?" Now, the reason Jesus is saying this is because he was accused of casting out demons by the spirit of Satan or Beelzebub, which is Lord of the Flies, and they understood that to be the demonic forces. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, wow, they shall be your judges. Now that had to make them a little upset, don't you think? You think about it. We think of Jesus as this meek and mild little guy with a lamb sitting on his lap and little children gathered around him. And he truly, when it comes to having compassion and love and understanding people, absolutely, that's his heart. And that was his heart when he was on the face of the earth. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus was not somebody you wanted to mess with. If you tried to deceive Jesus in any way, if you tried to manipulate him or control him, he would take you down in a minute. And he did it time after time after time. And he stood against the Pharisees, the religious leaders who were putting people in religious bondage. And he told them things that they didn't want to hear because they thought they were high and mighty. They thought they were somebody. They thought they were God's representatives on the face of the earth. And how could this carpenter come along and tell them anything different? But he did. He got them straightened out. And he tells them here in this scripture that you're not going to cast out devils by the devil. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me. Listen carefully to what Jesus said. He is not giving anybody any place, any room to be on straddle the fence. He's saying, you're either with me or you are against me. He's not giving us any room to say that our God, Yahweh, is the same God as Allah. You cannot, there is no room for that. You cannot say that Jesus is just one of the prophets. He's like Buddha. Or he's like Muhammad. Or he's like any number of people that came and established religions on the face of the earth. You could not. There's no room for that. Jesus said, you are either with me or you're against me. There is no other way. We are with the Lord, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Jesus is my King. Jesus is my God that came to earth and walked among men and took upon himself my sins, so that I could have eternal life. I am with him. I stand with him. I am for him. And the things that Jesus was saying, you got to understand, Jesus was talking very radical at this point. He was talking about kingdoms. And he was telling us there are really only two kingdoms. There's only God's kingdom and there's Satan's kingdom. And you got to decide what kingdom you're going to be in. What kingdom you're going to support, what kingdom you're going to be a part of, what kingdom you're going to connect yourself with. Because those who think that they're okay with God and still go out into the other kingdom and become a part of the other kingdom and do the things that the other kingdom does is going to find out someday that they've never been a part of God's kingdom. There isn't any place for it. The kingdom of God. It's here. Amen. Jesus said it's at hand. It's all around you. And he has given to us, those who are born again, who receive the power of the Holy Spirit in their life, he's given to us a kingdom that's inside of us. And kingdom people that are connected with one another, that are supposed to do kingdom work in this earth. This is exciting for us. This is not just about church on Sunday mornings. This is about going out and taking territory for the King. This is about making sure that we understand who we are in Christ so that every day of our life, we're not succumbing to the habits that we used to succumb to. That we're not living the same lifestyle that we used to live. That we are a different person because we are living in a different kingdom and we represent a different King. When I represented the devil, I did the devil's things. And you know, honestly, some of those things, I had a good time doing them. It was fun. You know, the drugs was fun. The illicit sex was fun. The lifestyle was fun to a point. And then you get to the point where you realize, man, this is not fulfilling. There's still a void inside of me. I'm still hurting. So I changed my allegiance. Now listen, when I changed my allegiance, I didn't say to the devil, devil, I'll come back and see you once in a while. I'm going to come into your kingdom once in a while just so I can remember what it was like to be in your kingdom. No, I said, devil, I've had enough of you. I've had enough of your kingdom. I know the kind of kingdom I want. I want the kingdom of God. I want God's goodness. I want God's peace. I want God's love. I want everything that God, I want the abundant life that Jesus Christ promised me. I'm telling you, I am walking in abundance because I'm serving the King. And he's promised me that abundance. Hallelujah. So if you're not walking in abundance, make sure, go back and check. Maybe you're still just half-heartedly serving the King. Because he wants you to have the abundant life. He wants you to have the abundant. And we're not talking about material possessions here. I'm talking about abundant life in Christ. Recognizing who you are, knowing that wherever you go and whatever you do, you're a representative of the King. That you have power and authority in Jesus' name to do the work of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Kingdom. I love the kingdom message. Sets me on fire. You know, one of the things that Jesus said, look, Beelzebub, if I cast out demons by the Lord of the demons, by Beelzebub, his house is divided. You can't have a divided house. Hallelujah. How many, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but we've all probably been there. If you have had children where the mother and father was divided on an issue on what needed to be done. Yes, sir. How difficult is that? You know who has the upper hand when that happens? It's not the parents. I'll tell you that. It's the children. The children can, and believe me, they're smart enough. I don't care how old they are. They are smart enough to recognize that mom and dad are not in agreement and I have an opportunity to manipulate and control this situation. Yep. You've been there. I know you have. Praise God. So what Tammy and I had to learn in our household was that we would always be united. Now, I got to tell you, we may have had some differences about our opinion about the situation, but we never, ever let our kids know that. If we were going to discuss it, we discussed it behind closed doors where the kids didn't know that we might have some issues. But we always showed a front with our children that we were united in our decision. And, you know, thank God we have the same values and the same expectations with our kids. So not very often do we have issues where we had, you know, something that we needed to discuss. But I'm telling you, this is the kind of thing Jesus is talking about. He's saying, listen, you can't have division. You can't have division in a church. The men of this church are they're my friends. They're my buddies. You know, hallelujah. Some of you I know better than others. But I still count you my friends and my buddies. And because of that, when you come in here on Sunday morning, I don't have to have the ushers. I trust you. I know who you are. I think you're a part of this kingdom. I don't have to have the ushers go gather you up and throw you out the door. Hallelujah. Now, we don't, you know, there are times where that may have to happen in the church. Somebody comes in, disrupts, tries to cause problems. They have to be asked to leave. Because when they come in with that kind of attitude, they're not a part of us. And that's what we're talking about with kingdom. Kingdom means that we are united. Kingdom means that we're on the same track. Kingdom means that we know where we're going. We know that God has given us a 50-mile radius that we're supposed to reach for His kingdom. We know that we are united in doing the work, equipping the saints, administering to people's needs, and saving souls. We know that God has given these things to us. So we walk in them. In Matthew 6:33, he says this. Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Seek His kingdom. This is interesting. I want you to all understand. Jesus didn't say, seek me first, and all these things will be added. That wasn't what he was talking about. He had already come to the conclusion that people who were listening to him was going to accept him. But now he's saying, now, after you accept me, there's more to it. You've got to seek the kingdom. You've got to get serious about this thing. You've got to quit playing games. You've got to be a serious participant in the kingdom. I don't know, how many of you in here have played ping pong? Anybody in here? Okay. There's a few of you. Now, I'm going to tell you, I played some ping pong. But when I play ping pong, I play at ping pong, if you know what I mean. You know, I just kind of throw the ball back and forth. I'm not real skilled at it. Now, this guy right here, he's pretty good. I played against him. He'll tear you up. I'm the same thing with pool. You know, I can shoot some pool. This guy, he loves to shoot pool. He's put some time in to shoot pool, and he's good at it. He's refined his skills. These guys, they've refined their skills in that area. This is what we're supposed to do in the kingdom. We're to refine our skills for the kingdom of God so that we are accomplishing everything God wants us to accomplish. And wisdom is a great part of this. Man, I know this morning that I'm probably saying some things that you're wondering, where in the world does this come into wisdom? How does this line up with wisdom? Well, it does, because it is extremely important that we understand, in order for us to do the kingdom work, we have to have the wisdom of God to accomplish it. Yes, sir. Kingdom work is about having God's wisdom. And when Jesus said, seek the kingdom, here's something I want you to understand. He didn't just mean look around and see if you can find it. Because the Greek word there means to meditate, reason, to inquire into, to seek after, to affirm, to try to find everything there is to know about it. But it has more of an application of applying it to your life and applying it to other people's life. So when we say seek the kingdom of God, we're talking about truly seeking after the things of God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 10, Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer. And in verse 10, he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Now, if we had not just read that previous part there about Jesus saying, you know, the kingdom of God is here, kingdom of God, we're going to accomplish the kingdom of God. If we had not read that, we would think that Jesus was saying in this prayer that, well, you know, God, send your kingdom someday. But that's not Jesus' prayer. Jesus is praying. He's saying the kingdom of God is here. Now do something with it. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God has called us to be his agents in this earth. And he said, listen, the kingdom of God is inside of you. Take that kingdom and do something with that kingdom. Expand that kingdom wherever you go, all over the earth. Expand it. The Greek word come here means to come into being, arise, come forth, show itself, find place or influence, be established, become known. Establish the kingdom of God. What Jesus is simply telling us in this prayer is that the kingdom of God will find influence in the earth if we use it to influence the world. We haven't used it very well to influence the world. We've taken a back seat and we've let Satan's kingdom influence the world. That's why the United States is the number one distributor of porn all over the world. Because we've allowed the kingdom of Satan. That's why we are dealing with issues like what is really marriage? You know, what does marriage really mean? Husband and wife, does it mean two men, two women? What is marriage? We're trying to redefine marriage now. That's why we're dealing with those kind of things, because the kingdom of darkness has the upper hand. Praise God, the kingdom of light is stronger, and God's kingdom must stand up. God's kingdom must shine. I believe God wants us to be wise in all our ways. He told us to be as wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to let the world step on us. It means that we use the wisdom that he has given us to influence, to touch and minister to people's lives wherever we go. You look at Daniel and his friends in Babylon, they were a light that was placed there by God himself to change and alter the direction of an earthly kingdom so that it would line up more with God's kingdom. It's good. Wisdom. Solomon had great wisdom. The greatest wisdom in all the world. Wisdom is so very, very important. I was just reading an article about a school. It was a private school. And they were having problems with that. 11 and 12-year-old little girls going into the bathroom before school, putting on their lipstick, and for some reason, maybe somebody can explain this to me, but they would kiss the mirror. So they had lipstick marks all over their mirror. And they constantly had problems with it. They tried to deal with it. The janitor would have to go in and just scrub and scrub and scrub and try to get it stuff off the mirror, and finally, it just kept happening, and finally, the principal said, we got to do something about this. She called all the girls in, and they went to the bathroom, and she said, listen, all of you must stop doing what you're doing with the lipstick. It's creating problems. It's very hard to get off. So, I thought maybe that if we showed you how hard it was to get it off the mirror, you would stop doing it. And she said, okay, janitor, show them how hard it is to get it off the mirror. The janitor had this squeegee thing. You all see squeegees for windows. He took his squeegee, went over to the commode and dipped it in the commode and went over and squeegeed the mirror. They never had a problem after that. That's wise, isn't it? That's great wisdom. Hallelujah. This is a true story. That's the kind of wisdom from God that we have to be able to deal with things. You know, that was the same kind of wisdom that Solomon himself got when he asked God. God appeared to him in a dream and asked him what he wanted. Solomon could have asked for anything. He could have asked for riches, he could have asked for abundance, he could have asked for anything at all that his heart desired. And he asked for wisdom. And because he asked for wisdom, all these other things were given to him, were added to him. There was more. Solomon was the richest man who has ever lived.
That's right.
In his time, there was so much gold and silver that they heaped it up in piles. No place to put it. I kind of like to have that problem. My mom lives on a little over 70 acres. I wouldn't mind heaping a few heaps of gold and silver around.
Yeah.
Amen? But that wasn't his issue. That wasn't his desire. He didn't ask God for great wealth. He asked God for wisdom so he could direct God's people correctly. And these other things were given to him because his heart was right. You see, wisdom, when you seek after wisdom, your heart is right. In fact, the Bible is very clear on seeking wisdom. Let me see if I can find that scripture real quick. The scripture that I was thinking about is actually the one that says, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Here it is. Psalms 1:11, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. So the beginning, if we're going to begin to have wisdom, we must have a fear of the Lord. Now, this doesn't mean that you shake and tremble in his presence. It means that you have a healthy respect for your God. You respect him. And when you respect your God, you respect the order that God has for things. This morning, we did our very best to respect our God in the order of this church, in the order of this meeting that we've had. Now, we had a plan. We always have a plan when we come in. We pretty much know what we're going to do. Now, you know, so I've heard people make fun of those who have bulletins or have a schedule. And, you know, that's just ridiculous, because any church that you go into, whether they have it printed or not, they have a schedule that they follow.
That's
right. It may just be an assumed schedule that everybody that goes to that church understands. We're going to have three hymns of her, a message, and go home.
Yep.
Right? That, you know, that's a schedule. Or we're going to have testimonies in between that. That's a schedule. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Man needs to make plans, but we have to be willing to allow our God to override those plans.
Yes.
So, you know, things like what happened this morning was God altering our plans. God doesn't care that we have plans. He cares if we begin to think our plans are more important than his plans.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So we received God's plan into our life this morning, into our church. And my goodness, the blessings of receiving God's plan is far and beyond getting my way.
Yeah.
Having things go in the direction that I thought was important.
Amen.
No, I do believe there's an order to things. But praise God, his order is more important than my order. His order is more important than man's order. His order comes when we seek him. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
If we want to get the wisdom that God has for us, we must have a healthy respect for our God and know that when we enter into His presence with praise and in His courts with thanksgiving, that we are entering into a holy place. Listen, this church is just a building. It's just a building, except it's just a building all other times. We could do anything we wanted to do in this building. I mean, there's some exceptions. I guess I should be careful with that. But we could do just about anything. We can have dinners in here, in this sanctuary. Can you believe that? We could have a dinner in here if that's what we wanted to do. We can have a concert. We can do anything we want to do because it is just a building, except on Sunday mornings or except on specific times when we set this place aside as the place to worship God. When the body of Christ, the temples of the Holy Spirit, come in here for a specific purpose, and that is to serve our living God, to praise His name, to glorify Him, to lift Him up. When we do that, then this place becomes a holy place. And we need to respect it. We need to recognize that it's not a place where we should be coming in here during worship and visiting each other. There's not a place where you should be texting or playing games on your phone after you're a certain age. I understand that. Okay. You know, it's a place that we've set aside, this place, to worship our living God. Come with ears to hear.
Yes, sir.
And a heart desire to receive. Wisdom. That's wisdom. You see, I'm teaching you the difference between religion and wisdom. Religion says you can do nothing in here except worship God. Wisdom says it's just a building. But when you come here to worship God, you come here to worship God.
Amen.
That's wisdom.
That's right.
That moves us away from the religious traditions that we are caught up in sometimes. All right, I got to wrap this message up this morning. I want to give you a couple of quotes that I think are very, very good. Larry Lee said this about wisdom. Wisdom is the God-given ability to perceive the true nature of a matter and implement the will of God in that matter. That's wisdom. It's good. Vance Havner said this, if you lack knowledge, go to school. If you lack wisdom, get on your knees. Knowledge is not wisdom. Wisdom is the proper use of knowledge. Hallelujah. You see, it's our responsibility to help our young people understand the difference between knowledge and wisdom, because they are only going to get the kind of wisdom they need from the church and from God. When they go off to college or even going to public schools, they're going to gain knowledge. But that knowledge is going to be useless unless they have the wisdom of God to apply that knowledge properly.
Yep.
And I could say a lot of things about the education that our kids are getting, and I'm not going to say much about that this morning. Another time I'll talk about it. Proverbs, or Psalms 90, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our heart unto wisdom. You see, that's a very important scripture, because if you think that you just have a few days to live, almost everyone, if you just think you have a few days to live, you get a little more serious about God. And that's a reality for everyone. If we, you know, the church for thousands of years have been saying that the return of Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. It's coming back soon. It's coming back soon. Well, you know, God's timetable is not ours. But I want to make sure that everybody recognizes that Jesus is coming back soon, very soon. And we need to keep that perspective as we seek the wisdom of God. Because if we keep that perspective, that Jesus is coming, and it's going to happen very, very soon. The things that are happening in our world today, the earthquakes, the natural disasters, the wars and rumors of wars, the things that are happening in the Middle East as countries are taking sides, things that are happening with Israel. There's a timetable that God has established, and it appears that time is running out. God's people need to be ready. But regardless, if we can just take the perspective that we have just a few short years. My goodness, when I was 20 years old, I'd hear people talk about how short life is. And I was thinking, I have my whole life before me. It's almost gone. It's incredible how quickly this time passes.
Yes, it is.
You've got to keep the perspective.
Yes, you do.
I don't want to scare anybody. I don't want to scare any young people. I want you to know that your God is with you. He's guiding and directing your life, and He has a hope and a future for you.
Amen.
I can't tell you how many years that is, but He has a hope and a future for you.
Yes,
hallelujah. Stand with me. The New Living Translation in Psalms 90, verse 12, says this: teach us to make the most of our time so that we may grow in wisdom. Make the most of our time. We have time every day, and we need to make the most of that time. The best way that you can make the most of your time is by seeking the Lord. Make sure you have some prayer time. Make sure you have some Bible study time. Make sure you have alone time with your God. I'm telling you, the future that is before us, you must have a face-to-face relationship with your God. Just like Dot said this morning, trust Him. You've got to have the kind of relationship where you can trust Him, where you don't look at the things that are happening around you, where you don't look to the nation or to the government to provide for you or any other resource, that you trust your God, that you can do that. Let's pray. Father God, today we thank You for great wisdom that You impart to Your people. We receive that wisdom. And Father, we do recognize that the time that we have is ours to handle properly as good stewards. Help us to seek after wisdom, to know that that wisdom is imparted to us from Your Word, Father. The knowledge that we get from Your Word gives us the wisdom to make proper decisions, to glorify Your holy name. Today, Father, we lift You up, we thank You, and we praise You for the wisdom that You have given to Your people. We seek after it. We desire it. We want it more than rubies and gold, Father. Give us all that we need in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Have a wonderful day.
Hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.